It's Zach Wilson's time again, isn't it?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's a red alert.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Zach Wilson looking lost, like my 10-year-old trying to solve a problem put forth by Professor Oppenheimer. That's the way it looks sometimes for him operating this offense.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran, Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Sapp, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live in Los Angeles, California. So much to discuss now with the last two games of Week 2 in the books in the National Football League. We're already turning the page to Week 3. We've got injury news. We've got injury updates. You've got college football on the docket, football on the brain, and why not? The Overreaction Monday podcast is up for everybody to go check out. Chris Brockman and I recorded it as soon as Monday's show was over. Check out the Overreaction Monday podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And also later on today, as soon as this show is over, Susie Schuster and Amy Trask will record the latest episode of What the Football. Ian Rappaport will be their guest in Rap Sheet. Boy, does he have all the information on what happened over pretty much the last 24 to 48 hours. T. Jefferson will be part of that podcast. It's all part of the Rich Eisen Show, Rich Eisen podcast family. It's all exciting. And we say hello to everybody that is taking in this show, maybe in the podcast version of this program. We say hello to the Roku channel audience. We say hello to the Sirius XM Odyssey and, of course, terrestrial radio audience that is checking us out here today. Three wide, three Zoom, three live Zooms we've got today. Cool. Tommy Curran is going to be chiming in from 0-2 Boston, 0-2 Patriots. Getting set to go 1-2 as they take on the Jets this weekend. You could just already, I'm not saying to Sharpie that in the W column, but that's the way I'm kind of feeling. Tom will be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. Sir Sapp himself, Warren Sapp, will be joining us. Much to discuss. They'll just talk ball with him. He's hashtag not fishing. He's hashtag zooming with us. Deion Sanders is on Friday's show and said that he intends to make Sapp his defensive line coach when Sapp gets his degree and he's ready to do it.
That's Coach awesome. Sapp.
So we'll chat with Coach Sapp. And speaking of Deion, Louis Riddick called along with Mark Jones. They're a great listen. You know I'm a big Mark Jones fan, right? From back in my day of sitting there getting ready to do the 2 a.m. Sports Center and watching Mark Jones in a silhouette doing his jump shot on the set of NBA Today on ESPN.
He's been dropping bars for years.
He has been doing that, TJ, that is for sure. Anyway, Lewis called Deion's the Colorado versus Colorado State game. He was also in the booth on the Monday nighter for the Saints going 2-0 against the Carolina Panthers. And Lewis will join us on Zoom, fresh back from Carolina in hour number three. There's you at 844-204-RICH, also the number to dial. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their spots.
Rich,
good to see
up?
You here on this
what's
Tuesday. And T.J. Jefferson, good to see you now fully officially introduced on this three-hour show. What's going on, sir?
What's up, folks?
Okay, so, boy, talk about an absolute gut punch when you see one of the best in the business who's all business. And in case you didn't know that about Nick Chubb, maybe you learned that when he called into our show last week in advance of this Monday night game in Pittsburgh. I mean, there really wasn't much, you know, jocularity. This guy is like shows up, puts his nose to the grindstone, or he just gets into his gig every single time he walks in the building. And he, more than maybe anybody in that building, and I'm not there, so I wouldn't know. Maybe anybody who might be a little bit more expert on what's going on in Berea there might be able to push back. Miles Garrett is a leader. I'm sure they do follow Deshaun Watson into battle. Amari Cooper doesn't say very much, I don't think. Nick Chubb doesn't say very much either, but I think they just take his cue. Because everything that the Browns offense does is predicated off of Nick Chubb. Chewing up the yards and keeping the clock moving and the chains moving and everything else builds off of that. And when Aaron Rodgers went down for the Jets two Monday nights ago, I mean, talk about gut punches on back-to-back Monday nights to open the season. I heard when I was saying here on this show and also NFL Network talking about how we Jets fans can't have nice things. We're not allowed to have too many nice things. I said that into this microphone over and over and over again and into the lav microphone on NFL Network multiple times last Sunday. I would hear when I said those things from Browns fans saying, tell me about it. Or, you're holding our beer, sir. And I've even heard from a couple of Browns fans saying, at least you've been to a Super Bowl. And I'm like, well, I'm 54. I might have been a zygote at the time when Joe Namath won it all. Yeah, I just said the word. Might be accurate. I don't know. I really haven't done the math.
It's nothing you want to think about.
I don't
want to think about it.
Too much informational TMI, but it's been a while. And that's the first thing I thought of when I saw Nick Chubb go down. And then I saw on Twitter, actually, the replays. Because I was doing Westwood One's coverage of both games, doing both games, kind of updating both broadcasts. And I was watching the Carolina and Saints game going down. And part of that broadcast, when I then looked at Twitter and I saw what happened to Nick Chubb. And it confirmed after the game, it does appear to be as catastrophic as it looked. Kevin Stefanski of the Cleveland Browns head coach had this to say after the game when asked about what he saw and what this means for his team and everyone else in the organization moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a team game. Nobody's bigger than the team. I don't say that to discount the person, the player, the teammate that Nick Chubb is and what he means to this organization. I'm not discounting that. But this is a team game. It's the greatest team game there is. So we got to rally, and we'll rally without Nick. He'll be in the building, I'm sure, when he's back in, and he'll support his team just like we're going to support him.
Greg Newsom of the Cleveland Browns, his teammate, said it succinctly. Quote, the season's going to be for him. Everything we do, every practice, we're going to think about him. Every game we're going to play for him. So, I mean, this season's going to be dedicated to Nick Chubb. That's as succinct as you can put it as to what Chubb means to this team and his teammates feel about him. And all I thought of again when I watched that knee crumple and knowing that 2015 he had significant injuries suffered in that knee, and we saw him as strong as ever. I mean, the guy had 10 carries for 64 yards at that point in time. I mean, just give him the ball twice, you're moving the chains. That's what he means to this team. That does do pretty much everything off the run. And why not? Because he's that talented. I thought to myself a few things. One, this looks as bad as it is, and maybe, just maybe, he can come back as strong as ever. I mean, modern medicine, maybe he can put a speed bridge in there too, in the same way that Aaron Rodgers had one put for his Achilles. Maybe, just maybe, this isn't the end of his career. But then again, you know how the NFL views its running backs. And that's the other thing I thought of. Hey, fans out there that are looking at Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis, fans out there that were looking at Saquon and looking at Josh Jacobs this summer, and fans out there who are hearing about the Zoom that happened amongst the running backs when it looked like Josh Jacobs and Saquon were kind of SOL before their teams sprinkled a little bit of money on top of their contracts in the form of incentives. Anybody out there that thinks that these guys aren't, if you will, team players, you're out of your minds. Running backs, get your money. Get your money while you can. And that's the one thing about at least Nick Chubb, is that he got paid. 3-year, $36 million contract he signed. Now, at the time, that was a decent chunk of change for sure. $20 million guaranteed. He was earning a base salary of $10.8 million this year, which is pretty much what Saquon and Josh Jacobs wound up signing for with their franchise tag. So he has been paid in a manner that others have not. That's what I thought. But at least he's been paid, and every running back out there that looks at that, by the way, an injury on grass, don't want to point out since that was a conversation about Rodgers being on turf.
Yep.
But I mean, unfortunately for Chubb, his foot was firmly planted and his leg just as straight as it can possibly get when Minka Fitzpatrick's helmet connected. That this is what happens to running backs. They're the ones amongst the trash, as it's referred to, with what's going on in the line of scrimmage. They're the ones who go through the fray. They're the ones who absolutely are in the line of fire more than maybe anyone else who carry a football. Obviously, offensive linemen and defensive linemen can have ankles hurt when somebody falls on you. Really, what Shaq Thompson of Carolina had that happen to him last night. So, get yours when you can. Everybody who runs the football in the National Football League, get yours and make sure you get yours. And that's the other aspect of this for the Browns moving forward. What do they do? Because in the same way, again, that I heard from Browns fans every single time I would say into this microphone, Jets fans can't have too many nice things, can they? And I heard from Browns fans saying, I feel you. And here goes maybe everybody's favorite player on offense on that team in Cleveland going down in horrifying fashion. Out for the year, who knows future. But they are set up to run. They are set up to win. You do see Cincinnati having a big question mark of whether Joe Burrow can play next week. You know, they're going to send out a Jake Browning against Aaron Donald on Monday Night Football? Okay. You know, it's possible as we're sitting here right now.
Yeah.
That could be 0-3. You know, the Steelers last night got some big moments from their defense, and all the Browns have to do is clean things up a little bit. They can win that game. And I know that they did have a very nice night from Jerome Ford. And they may look at Jerome Ford in the same way that the Jets look at Zach Wilson. I am equating the two here. And fortunately for Browns fans, and I will say that, understand my circumstances in which I'm saying that. I'm comparing this to the Jets. Quarterbacks don't just sit at the crib ready to come in and start performing for you in a significant way. They're not available for you 2 weeks in a significant way. The Jets are going to have to stick with Zach. And the Browns might sit here and go, Jerome Ford can do it. I mean, sitting at home is former Brown Kareem Hunt. Sitting at home is Leonard Fournette. And sitting out there saying, maybe come get me and put the bell around my neck here so I can be your bell cow, is Jonathan Taylor. He's got 2 weeks until he's allowed to come back and play football. Do you go ahead and go and hit them on their hip in Indianapolis? Check it out. Because you know if Chris Ballard was asking for friggin' Jalen Waddle and, yeah, you know, basically your firstborn, maybe, you know, and that's from teams that weren't, if you will, desperate. I don't know what the price is. But do you do that? And also, maybe you say to him, you know, we'll offer you a little something-something right now for this year, but we just need to see if Nick's, because Nick's our guy, we need to see if Nick's rehabbing and he can come back from this thing so we can just hand him the rock again. And you just tell that to Jonathan Taylor. You think Jonathan Taylor would want out of Indianapolis to do that sort of thing? Does he see what's happened in Indianapolis over the last 2 weeks and he sees, okay, you can be part of that.
Fun
I'm staying
team,
here.
Fun team,
right?
Team.
I don't know. Anthony Richardson is long. Maybe he doesn't have to keep running it in if I'm there and putting his body on the line and maybe he can finish a game. which he has not been able to do in his first two career starts.
Thing is, Cleveland obviously doesn't have their first-round pick this year. That goes to Houston. They do have a second-round pick, probably going to be out in the 40s. Is that enough to get it done?
Probably not. I don't know. Don't forget, apparently he asked for Jalen Waddle.
Is it a player, in the second-round pick?
You're not flipping the Colts, Amari Cooper or Elijah Moore, who, by the way, you know, you traded a second-round pick to go get.
Right.
You're not doing that. Njoku is just... Like, when he gets some head of steam, look out. So, you know, you're not just...
Elijah Moore in the second-round pick,
is that
enough?
No, you don't want to trade. No, it's not. It's not.
Okay.
I mean, the kid Bell, I believe, from Purdue, is from Indianapolis. I don't know. But that's not what they're looking for. They asked for Jalen Waddle. This may be not a marriage here. And also, again, this kid, Jerome Ford, has got some burst. He had 106 yards rushing under the circumstances, including a huge run that was the lion's share of his yardage when it looked like the Browns were going to succumb to the moment of losing their leader in Nick Chubb. Just, again, some food for thought. Here's the interesting thing now that we've got a podcast network. Ian Rappaport's going to be zooming in with Susie and Amy for What the Football later on, and they'll ask him what the Jonathan Taylor market is, and so that'll be later on in the day. But later on this program, we've got Lewis Riddick talking about Colorado beating Colorado State and the Saints essentially showing Bryce Young, you're not in the SEC anymore. They're 2-0 right now. For the first time in the history of the NFC South, born in 2002, established in 2002, is the first time that there are three 2-0 teams in that division. That's never happened before. So Lewis will join us on that. Warren Sapp on everything going on in Warren's world. But let's take a break as we're seeing phone lines light up. We love it. Along with, by the way, my top five performers of week two. We've got that list for you. Coming up next, what is going on in New England? Oh, Brockman just sat up straight. Yep. What's going on there is the Patriots are 0-2 for the first time since Tom Brady trotted onto a field for the first time.
How did that season end?
Oh, they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, cool. Not worried. Not worried.
Mo Lewis is now walking through that door.
Ah!
Yeah. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston with the latest on what's going on in New England when we come back.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki. A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki, Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney+.
So, did you like two games at once?
I love it.
Do you like two games at once?
I love it.
Here's the deal. It really cut into me watching Monday Night Raw, which I had to wait till after football. I mean, I watched both games, though. I did.
I love the early window when there's a London game. I like the four windows on Sunday. I want doubleheader Mondays.
I know some people that weren't a fan of having two games at once Monday.
It was tough to go back.
TVs are cheap.
Can you dig it?
You have a laptop. Like, what are we doing?
The way it was described to me by someone in the know as to why they're doing it is more football for everyone is better.
Yeah.
And it also is what's the word for it? It's a backstop if one of the night games isn't good.
Stinks. Yeah.
If the night game, if the standalone game isn't good, there's a backstop that could be another one. The early game
it
next
yesterday
week,
because it's Saints and right. Panthers was a hey.
Right. And next week it's Rams and Bengals at 8 Eastern, and the 7 o'clock are 2-2-0 teams, Eagles at Bucks.
Yeah. Fun.
So the early one, if you will, is 2-2-0 teams.
Also, Rich, from a gambling perspective, you know, if your bets from the early game aren't going too well, it could be like reload up on the 5 o'clock game.
Oh, is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the person I reached out to for information as to the theory behind this from the NFL's point of view, you didn't mention that.
Yeah. And there are 8 gambling sponsors, probably.
I don't know. Didn't mention that either.
Interesting.
You should have gone to degenerates.com. You would have found a lot of answers.
I have an addiction.
Is that the only thing?
That's Brockman's
is there
website.
Such a, is there
degenerates.com? I don't know.
Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
Brockman, buy it right now.
HR should not just go delving into those depths, sir.
Get that right now.
Willy-nilly.
You're right. Hold on.
Chris, there are 2800 numbers he can call.
I don't condone looking that up.
Let me use it on my phone.
I hope you find file not found.
Hey.
Welcome back to Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Anytime something's up with the Patriots, we send up the signal. And he has answered. Once again, NBC Sports Boston and the host of his own podcast on the New England Patriots. And he is none other than Tom Curran, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, the host of Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast. How are you, Tom?
Tremendous. Over the moon. Personal best.
Best day of his life.
I didn't know this was a PB. I had no idea. Okay. The state of the Patriots is fill in the blank,
Tom. Worrisome. It's worrisome. 0-2 was not beyond the pale. And the performance against the Eagles was encouraging enough to have me handing out the 8th moral victory in the past 3 seasons. But you can only, and I counted them, there have been 8.
Yeah, okay.
But you can only have a moral victory, I finally came to conclude, if you do something with the lesson that you were taught. They fall behind 16-0 against the Eagles and then fall behind 17-3 against the Dolphins. Rich, we hear people talk about a Bill Belichick coach team and the tenets that it adheres to and the way it plays football and the situational smarts. That's so far gone from what we're seeing. And and I thought it would be cured post-Patricia and Judge, and it's continuing on with the lack of attention to detail and quality control. So it's concerning to me.
So to what do you attribute this, Tom?
There's a talent gap to begin with. And the talent gap, I think, forces them to make mistakes. You know, you look at the first game, you can't control Mac Jones throwing high to Kendrick Bourne, which turns into a pick. You can't tell Ezekiel Elliott, after however many years he's been in the league, hey, make sure you don't fumble after you catch the screen. Both of those things happen. Dietrich Wise, who's a captain, lined up offsides. He extended a drive in the first game against Philly. They turned that into a field goal. Kyle Duggar wiped out a sack with a defensive hold. Philly turned that into a touchdown. And that was the end of a 20-yard drive. I mean, they played as well as they could. That's why I come out of that game and I'm like, hey, you know what? 48 minutes, they actually took it to the Eagles. And then they came out against the Miami Dolphins and they had a fumble on one of their first drives. And then they couldn't match up and they got just shredded by on 2nd-and-19. They get a 20-yard gain to Jalen Waddle. There's just a talent gap that's exacerbated by the physical and mental mistakes they're making.
So I guess the positives would be what? Like, I know you said that you expected most post-Patricia and Judge cleaning up some of the mistakes that you rarely see on a team that's situationally brilliant year in and year out, certainly compared to the competition. But just eye test. I mean, Mac Jones looks far more confident
100%.
And gets rid of the football in a far more efficient way than we saw at maybe any point last year over these first 2 games. Tom,
oh,
right?
100% last year and in some ways reminiscent of 2021 and probably better than 2021. I think that he's more confident, but their margin for error is so low that when he makes a mind-numbing mistake, like the pick down the sideline to Devontae Parker, who was boxed out into the cheerleaders by Xavier Howard, you're not coming back from it. You know, people here were saying, wow, we were really close the other night. Cole Strange, I mean, it was that close to getting that first. Close to what? They were at the 30-yard line if they got that first down. They were still down by a touchdown. Close is, you know, the Titans against the Rams in 1999 in the Super Bowl. Close isn't your guard tackled at the 30 with a minute and a half left and no timeouts. Sorry.
I hear you, Tom. And that's
loaded for bear out here.
That's one of the many reasons why I love having you on is you shoot straight. And so maybe you can help interpret this. I know Mac Jones interpreted it on his own on WEEI radio locally, but Mac certainly post game had some eyebrows raised with this comment. Let's play it for the audience here.
Definitely got to play better and learn from it and, you know, be here early and leave late and do it together. I think that's the biggest thing. It's if a couple guys are doing it, it's not good enough, clearly. So we got to put more into it and we'll get more out of it.
And I know he said locally that he wasn't throwing any of his teammates in an unnamed fashion under a bus, but I don't know how else you would take that to mean other than the fact that not everyone is doing what he advocates.
Yeah, trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube a little bit, but when you say it's the biggest thing, everyone has to do it together, it's not the biggest thing the next day, and does not infer that everyone is not doing it together. And I think that that's another aspect of the Patriots that maybe falls away a little bit as the traditions of what they were about and who they had at quarterback fall away. I mean, as Bill Belichick used to say, when your best player is your hardest worker, it makes a difference. And everyone understood that Tom Brady was the best player. I don't know if teammates think Mac is the best player. They like him. They definitely like him. They definitely think that there's upside there, and they do think he works hard. But I don't think that, you know, random wide receiver X is looking at Mac and going, holy crap, he's pissed. I have to get in there, make sure I stay late. I just don't think it exists the same way it would have if Tom Brady looked at Chad Ochocinco and said, where are you going? So it's different. It's just it's the nature of things, and we were spoiled that the circle of NFL life skipped two or three times over this area. but it's come around now.
Well, hey, man, I knew, again, let's just to talk about my allegiances. I knew again when Mariano Rivera retired that the Yankees wouldn't have a closer like that again, and then we had it great, you know, and that's the way it works for pretty much every franchise in any sport when an all-time great leaves, I guess, unless you're the Packers or something like that. But you put it all together, and it sounds like you don't believe, or the general sense is, that there's enough in the pipeline there to actually have a playoff season? Or
no,
what?
I think
what
they can. I think that they can. I think that they could have won either of those games had they not committed mistakes that they did. But Rich, in the last five games that they played going back to last year, they fell behind the Cincinnati Bengals 22-0. They gave an opening game kickoff up to the Buffalo Bills. They fell behind Philly 16-0. They fell behind Miami 17-3. All four of those are good teams. And they didn't come out prepared and ready to play, dug themselves a hole, and then had to valiantly try to claw back. And in each of those games, they did valiantly try to claw back. All of those were representative. Not bad. So I think that they can beat teams like the Jets and the Commanders and the Colts. I think that they could probably take care of business against the Chargers. But I look at other teams and say they're not competitive against them. In their last nine games, Rich, they're 2-7. The two teams that they beat were the Miami Dolphins with Teddy Bridgewater and Skylar Thompson and the Arizona Cardinals with Colt McCoy. That's a nine-game stretch that if they had those quarterbacks, their starters, could the Patriots have been 0-9 over their last nine? I mean, we're looking at the Patriots and the logo and the head coach and saying, look out, and the results argue differently.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider and the host of Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast. A couple minutes left with him here on this busy Tuesday. on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the third rail subject that you talked about during the summer. I mean, is there, I guess this is a better, if there's any time for the Patriots to have Jets Week come up and the quarterback that Belichick maybe, I don't know, over the history of him signing the cocktail napkin since, I don't know if there's been a quarterback he loves to or been more successful tormenting the most than Zach Wilson. I mean, he did. He had Sam Darnold seeing ghosts.
He had a good time with Sam.
I know that. I know he had him seeing ghosts. I get that. But the reason why the Jets went and got Rodgers and it became so obvious that they could not stick with Zach Wilson anymore in many ways is the fact that they got swept by the Patriots last year and he looked the way that he did in both of those games. And after the last one, took to the podium and sounded so completely without responsibility that they had to sit him. And now, now what happens that it's Zach Wilson coming against, coming to the fore again against New England? What are your two cents on that subject matter, writ large, everything?
They're looking, I think the Jets are looking at the Patriots and again, looking at the results of the last nine games. And the game prior to that last nine game stretch was that game against the Patriots. The Patriots lost, won 10-3 on a buzzer beater punt return by Marcus Jones. I mean, the Jets held the Patriots totally in check. And we can look at it and say it's going to be different with Bill O'Brien, and it will. But the Jets look at the Patriots as a winnable game, too, with Zach Wilson. You know, I was listening to Lavernius Coles and Wayne Corbett doing their podcast for the 33rd team, and they both said, this is about the only game we have coming up here that we ought to win.
Wow.
And I wouldn't blame them for feeling that way. I mean, you have to look at the Patriots game and their lack of offensive explosiveness. And I mean, it's first down, second down, third down, conversion or punt. First down, second down, third down, conversion or punt. They don't get chunk plays because they don't have the skill to do it on the outside necessarily, and they definitely haven't shown the protection. And they're going up against one of the best fronts in football. The Jets are going to look at this as we can get to 2-1 here with Zach, buy the kid some time, and save our season. So this is not the layup I think the Patriots fans and maybe the players themselves kind of hoped it would be. I don't think the players would look at this as a layup either, though. I think the players are a little more realistic.
Well, I think Bill's also going to whip him up, I would think. So walk me through, crystal ball it for me, Tom Curran. The Patriots wind up 0-3, losing to the Jets and giving wind to the Zach Wilson Project 3.0. What does it look like there in New England and inside Patriots place, Tom?
It's bleak. It's bleak. And, you know, the following games, fortunately, I think they have the Commanders, the Saints.
Vegas.
The Jets again, Vegas. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots, depending upon the day and the way they're performing, are anywhere between, I think, the 12th best team in the league and the 26th best team in the league. And right now, they're probably closer to 26th. They get in against a team that's better than them, they lose. If they get in against a team that's similar to them, they generally win. So they got to get the wins against the teams that are similar to them. That would be Jets. That would be Commanders. That would be Saints. That would be Raiders. And Bill will keep on. But when we talked about hot seat and what the fallout would be, I said Bill will be fine if the quality of the product improves, if the quality control was better, if they're situationally smart, they're disciplined, they start well, and they look like they have the arrow pointing up, regardless of record. I would say relative to last year, it looks like the arrow is pointing up, but they're still situationally not very intelligent. And they're not disciplined when you look at some of the penalties they've taken through the first two games. So quality control under Bill Belichick is certainly not what we've become accustomed to, and it continues that way.
So let's just say that's the way, as we leave it with you for the moment, the season goes. What happens then?
I don't know, Rich. The last time I answered the question, I had to spend a week and a half talking about hot seats. I don't know what happens. Told you in August, got myself in trouble.
No, you didn't get yourself. What? Like what? Your Dunkin' order was delayed 2 minutes by somebody.
No, I just had to look at all that at Tommy Curran crap on social. Bob Curran says Bill on hot seat.
All right, Well, I mean, okay.
Not today, Satan.
Hey, hey, Tom, the Pats should just trade for Justin Jefferson, right? He's going to be unhappy, okay. And the Vikings are going to be 1-5.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I saw a nice fake trade out there.
Is that
not
right?
Not a horrible point.
Two firsts and a second? Like, why wouldn't we do that?
I mean, we were pining for DeAndre Hopkins, and he would have made a difference.
I don't know. That would be...
I don't know. I'm done with you people.
Okay, there you go. Well, I couldn't guess that with you calling me Satan, Tom. Sorry. That's okay. Thanks for joining. I always appreciate it. Thanks again, brother.
See you guys. Take care.
At Tom E. Curran.
Yeah.
That's Tom Curran, a Patriots Talk podcast right here on the Satan Show.
The Satan Empire.
Tommy. The Satan Empire. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
Satan Empire.
Hey, man, that's what we're building here.
I want to be a part of the Satan Empire.
People.com. Well, you are.
I got to go.
You are.
Satan has the most fun, guys.
Very good.
Trust me.
I disagree.
I'd rather laugh with the Satan Empire.
I mean, that's the whole point. Billy Joel said it. That's the whole point. Patriots, it's one Patriots place, not 12th between 26th Patriots place. You know what I mean?
Right.
Man.
I mean, I'm kidding, not kidding about a Justin Jefferson trade.
It's not happening.
But that's the thing, that the offense doesn't scare you. There's no big play threat. There's no home run threat. And so you're just going to be quick passing down the field and hoping that you convert third and fours.
Here's what...
And it's not fun.
I'm telling you to your face.
You know?
And you can tell me to my face. This is what we can do.
Our season is over?
No.
Oh.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying to you, Justin Jefferson is not walking through that door. And to me, Kirk Cousins not walking through that door.
Yeah.
Even if they're 0-3, even if they're 0-3, even if the Chargers go in there.
But 1-5 is a little different, no?
No, that's different. I mean, let's look at Minnesota's schedule. I'm sure Vikings fans are like, move on, Satan. how about that?
Didn't have that on the
Minnesota, they're at Carolina. Hey, Bryce Young looks like he needs a bit more seasoning, don't you think?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, he's holding on to the ball way too long.
Yeah.
And
he's not a runner in this.
Oh,
in this
my.
League.
Well, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. And I would suggest he slides because he definitely doesn't look like he can take one of those monster hits too often. Let's put it this way. If Anthony Richardson has not finished games at his height and weight, slide, Bryce, slide.
Yeah, get out of bounds.
Then Minnesota after that is home for Kansas City, at Chicago, home for San Francisco, at Green Bay, at Atlanta, which is 2-0, home for New Orleans, which is 2-0.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, these are steep. These are steep.
They have a tough schedule.
It's not easy.
After 2 weeks.
0-2 is a dreadful way for them to start. They've got to win week three. They're not trading either of them. I mean, they're definitely not trading Justin Jefferson. And they're just going to find a new quarterback next year.
What if he says, I want out?
Who, Justin?
And it's 3-6.
He hasn't said a word, as you know, on his contract.
I know.
Nothing. Except, you know, it's being worked on. It's different for a receiver. You've heard those things.
Mm. I'm trying to manifest.
You want him to pull a Harden?
I'm trying to manifest.
Send him to China. See what he's got to say.
Hey, give him some honey buns.
No, you don't want that.
I'm going to say this again.
That's right. I will not.
Let me repeat.
Okay. Let's take a break. Phone calls. And then there's, by the way, the Patriots just went 0-2 as the Dolphins improved to 2-0. Only one other 2-0 team in the AFC now that the Browns lost. And we'll discuss that team for a bit because the AFC North appears to be winnable right now for the Ravens. That's for darn sure. The Rich Eisen Show returns in a moment right here on Roku and this radio network.
Mike, do your job.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
It could be information to change your life forever.
or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Let's get to it with The Big Lebowski. How were you introduced to that film?
I ran into the Coen brothers a couple of years before that, I guess, at a party, and they said, we're writing something for you. I say, oh, great, because I was a big fan of Blood Simple and some other earlier films. And then I got the script, and I said, what? This is not like anything I've done. Were you spying? Did you crash some of my high school parties? And where did this guy come from?
Was that character based on anybody that you know?
Yeah, it was based on a guy named Jeff Dowd. For them, they used him quite a bit. I met him. He came on the script. I didn't use him too much. I really referenced myself. and the script, you know.
When did you realize that this film would become, in many ways, you can't even call it a cult. It's a classic. It's just a flat-out classic now.
Yeah, yeah.
For The Big Lebowski.
I was surprised, because we had a great time making it, and we were all, laughing and, thinking, this was a fun movie. We didn't think it was going to be anything like it was today, but I was surprised when it first came out and did nothing. It was like, kind of a bomb. And then it played in Europe, and they got it. And then it splashed back over on our shores, and he grew to become
as one of our colleagues on this show has a friend who went to a Lebowski bar in Iceland.
We have Lebowski Fests. I've been to one. I played with my band at a Lebowski Fest. That was my Beatle moment, man. Can you imagine? The dude! Playing to a sea of dudes and bowling pins and moms. It was just totally surreal. Oh, my God.
Jeff Bridges being the Jeff Bridges we had hoped and expected is one of the greatest delights in the near 9-year history of this program.
Factual.
Back here on our program. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and yours truly all season long for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You need to drag that out. I think every time you read it.
Just keep beating.
The pause needs to get longer.
I should do like the Mona Lisa Vito foot stamp.
Just the pause needs longer.
Okay. I'll take notes. I appreciate your notes on that.
Of course.
Maybe that should be the fantasy name, the silent comma.
The silent comma is not a bad one.
It's a good band name.
Murder. She wrote.
Nice.
Even next 60 time minutes will be coming up following football, followed by murder. She wrote.
Really did it, too. That's an amazing Manhattan.
David in Texas will take your phone call. What's up, David? How are you, sir?
Hey, Rich. I've been watching your show forever. I was a big Dan Patrick fan, not a fan of him anymore.
Why?
Because the way he treated his staff.
No.
You guys, the way you interact with each other.
I get yelled at
every
day.
I love the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All I'm saying is, straight up, I'm a Packers. I own 2 shares of the Green Bay Packers.
Hey.
Oh.
How many? Hold on a second. How many shares do you own of the Green Bay Packers, Mike?
2.
But
hey!
I only own 1.
No, you gave it away.
I gave 1 away.
Okay, so put it all together, David. You and this staff here that you say
together,
I treat well.
I'm going to make it real short.
Three
Tim
shares.
Tim Boyle is your boy. That guy spent 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers, watching him throw the rock around. You guys have him on your team.
Okay.
Backing up Zach Wilson, and Zach Wilson needs to go.
You're literally pounding the table for Tim Boyle. I heard that, David.
I'm pounding the table, and more importantly is that guy worked with with Mr. Hackett.
Okay. And I appreciate the call, David.
You have two choices.
Yeah.
You're either going to lose your offensive coordinator or you're going to keep him. And if you're going to keep him, because Aaron Rodgers ain't coming back, Aaron Rodgers has a lot of bad karma coming from him, because he could have taken less money and kept Devontae Adams in Green Bay.
David, I'm going to push back on a couple things. Number one,
okay.
First of all, Dan Patrick is a delight. And, you know, whatever he's treating his staff on the air, that's it's for fun and games and whatever. They love him. He loves them. That's number one. Number two, I will say this, and thank you for the call. I will say this. If the Tim Boyle ripcord gets pulled, then Zach Wilson may not appear for the Jets ever again. I mean, that's a fact. These are facts. These are facts. If he gets pulled for Joe Flacco and Mike White and Tim Boyle, then we're done. Then we're done. Then we are done and finished. I don't know how you can come back from that. Like, hey, you looked so bad against Belichick that we have to sit you down and we're putting Tim Boyle in the game. Or, hey, whole country's watching. Whole country's watching. Sunday night football. Chiefs are in the house. Mahomes getting piz-aid. Okay. Happy 28th birthday, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, cha-ching.
Here's $218 million.
Hello.
I didn't turn 28 that way. I'll just tell you that.
You didn't?
No.
You remember your 28th birthday?
Yes, $2.18.
Okay. I owe somebody
$2.18. So, hey, folks, boy, Chris Jones and Snead and the rest of that defense, they're abusing Zach. We've got to put Tim Boyle in for the national television audience. And I know I sound like I'm deriding him. Then Zach's done, and they're not getting rid of the offensive coordinator, because the plan is for the speed bridge to work well enough for Rodgers to come back, if not this year, then definitely next year, and try it again. And they are not going to mess with his world enough. And that's one last point I kind of want to make here on this subject matter. I wasn't going to bring this up today, but this has now been brought up. When Rodgers is well enough, first thing he's got to do is get on one of those rascals that Costanza had, you know, and get on the sideline.
Yep.
And get in the building, because Agree. The one guy who can help Zach Wilson better than anyone else is named Aaron Rodgers. And the one guy that can go in that locker room and say, hey, Brees, the four football emojis, hey, Sauce, let's do that handshake again where we're, you know, smoking.
Yeah.
Let's all row together. Trust my guy, Nathaniel Hackett, and trust my guy in Zach. Let's stay the course. We're going to be good. I'm here now in the locker room. I'm here on the sideline. The faster, now that's the speed bridge I want to see work right now. But again, I'm not 39 years old convalescing from Achilles surgery that clearly he and no one else saw coming except the script writers of the script of the 2023 season. That sucks. Throw that out. So that's the faster he can come back, the better.
Yep, agreed. Honest question, no trolling.
Yes. Oh, boy.
No,
I'm being serious.
I appreciate the heads up.
I'm being serious. Yeah. Like, if Mike White was still on the roster, do you think he's starting week three against New England?
No, I don't think so. Because you can't. That was a part of last year's problem, too, was the revolving door that nobody wanted to see spinning. But I believe Saleh had no choice but to spin after Zach looked the way that he looked in New England and said, no, did I let the team down? Nodded.
Yeah.
Like, well, everyone's like, what the what is that? And then Mike White damn near beat the Vikings.
Right. Yeah.
So, no. He got to stick the course with Zach. As much as I just think we've seen enough, as Larry said, he's at the end of his Wilson rope is frayed. is what he said. You know, I honestly didn't plan on getting into this today. As you know, I was planning on talking about the Ravens this segment, and we're kind of out of time. I want to give the Ravens a little bit more time because they're 2-0.
Yeah.
How about that? Eagles, Cowboys, Niners, Commanders, Bucks, Falcons, Saints. If I had told you, Christopher Brockman, TJ Jefferson, if I had told you guys before the season, Mike, if I told you to.
Thank you,
what,
Rich,
if I told you?
Seven, there would be 9 2-0 teams.
Mike wouldn't be listening.
That's true.
Probably wouldn't be.
I know one of them for sure.
There'd be 9 2-0 teams.
Only two in the AFC?
Which conference would have this, you know, the lion's share of it? There would be 7-1 conference, 2 in the other. Which one would you have chosen?
AFC.
I mean, I guess my instinct would be AFC, but the AFC is tougher. So I would expect there to kind of be more in the NFC. I think.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good way to look at it.
Maybe I'm playing the result.
No,
I don't know.
No. You're right.
AFC is tougher, I think. Top to bottom, we can agree. But I guess 7-2-0 in the NFC says they're better.
First time since 1989, there's 3 2-0 teams in the NFC East. And first time in the history of the NFC South established 2002 that there's 3 2-0 teams. And then you've got the Niners, Eagles. You know, we got the Niners in that mix, making the seventh. 3 in the East, 3 in the South, 1 in the West.
I think the 3 in the South is what is the most surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And Tampa could go 3-0 if Baker Mayfield can plant a flag and stiff arm and wake up dangerous on the Eagles next Monday night. Oh, baby.
That would be shocking.
Yeah, let's go Bucks.
He'd be ranked high on my son list if he wins that one.
He'd be number one on your son list.
No, stop it. Stop it.
How about Baker and Sam Howell, two long-lost brothers? You know, they basically look like twins.
No, they don't.
But, oh, man, I think you're crazy.
No, they look like...
No, they don't.
Got the hair and the thin beard and the white beard going.
Baker understands
they're
you
both
can't
six
wake
feet
up with...
Tall.
He doesn't wake up with bedhead. He's got a wife. He's got a dog. You know what I mean? Like, he's got responsibilities.
Sam Howell doesn't have any of those things?
I don't think so.
Okay, let me check.
I bet you Sam's just like a bachelor strolling around the Beltway. By the way, that's the proper use of Beltway. You don't refer to Baltimore.
Although,
as being
Rich,
part of the
I don't know, man. The people were
like, "Come on!"
The
come
people
on,
were commenting back saying Baltimore also has a Beltway. So
yeah,
I was
there's a Beltway
right
around both cities.
Yeah,
but when you refer to the Beltway, you're not referring to Baltimore's Beltway, are you?
Are we disrespecting Baltimore?
Oh my God! I'm already. I will not be happy unless I piss off half of the AFC North in the last 24 hours.
You don't want to get Baltimore mad,
Rich. Welcome to my world.
Avon Barksdale on line 3. Sure.
Hey-o. Yeah, Sam Howell, I don't think has
Susie,
a wife.
Susie, she's like looking at what she's going to wear for What the Football. She pulled out her Omar Common t-shirt. I'm like, go ahead and wear it.
Oh, that's mandatory.
Omar's coming.
Why not?
I'm like, go ahead and wear it.
Omar's coming.
Omar coming.
I like it.
Mine doesn't fit me anymore, but no. I'm trying to get back into it.
I mean, you're looking buff right now.
Oh, thank you.
You working out? You're looking good.
I mean.
Well, you know what?
Rich is like Banya. Oh, I'm huge.
just trying to stay in shape while building empires.
You're doing weights, Jerry? I'm huge.
The best, Jerry, the best.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations where we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.